Steve Guttenberg's whole career was Police Academy and Cocoon. Nothing else.
Well, Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, is he in that?
Oh, yeah. He's one of the three men. Three handsome men.
Did I tell you when I went to that downstairs comedy, the famous downstairs comedy club in New York? You know,
the Comedy Cellar?
Yeah, whatever it is. I must have told you this story.
Go ahead, though.
Tom Hulce was there.
As a performer?
No, just sitting in the audience, like right next to the stage. Just not like, he wasn't like people going up to him. He just sat there.
He wasn't dressed as Amadeus?
No, or anything. And virtually every performer that came up kind of would look, you know, look around the crowd. And then you could see them going, is that who I think it is? Like every fucking performer.
He's a mysterious one. I mean, in terms of Hollywood, I mean, he didn't do much.
Yeah,
what he did was great, but
not good looking. So he's not your leading man.
He's not. Yeah.
But yeah, it was weird.
He's still alive, I imagine.
Him and Gutenberg, I kind of mix up.
You think of them as contemporaries?
Mm-hmm.
Think they fought for some of the same roles?
Probably.
But what? But Tom Hulce just dropped off the planet. Gutenberg petered around, still around. I'm sure he's working on some show, some cable show, streaming show he's probably involved in. How are you doing there?
Good.
Yeah, you got your Chicago Dogs.
Yep. Looking forward to the baseball season.
When are we going to get out to a Dogs game?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I love them. We'll go to Wiener Wednesdays. You won't eat a hot dog, I guess, but you could eat the bun.
Surely they do a vegetarian dog to make it inclusive.
Not for a dollar. Well, maybe they'll give you the bun for 50 cents. Like that Chris Rock bit that he used to do.
What do you mean from New Jack City? How about you put a dish in my hand?
Exactly.
You know, Nathan's, I had a Nathan's plant-based dog over the weekend.
How was it?
Very good.
Yeah, stuff like that, the plant-based, like hot dogs, chicken nuggets, you know, anything that's like, it doesn't have to be meat to taste how it does, they're better. Better, they taste better, the texture is better.
They don't taste better.
They don't taste better.
The dog doesn't, but they should be able to replicate a hot dog.
Oh, you know,
easily.
You ever had a Salins, when you ate meat, did you ever have a Salins buffalo, a Salins hot dog from Buffalo? They do sell them in Chicago at like the, you know,
Salins?
Fancy. Yeah, Salins.
Spell it.
Salens. That's the popular hot dog in Buffalo, New York.
Natural casing?
Oh my God, they're so good.
Is it a natural casing?
I believe so.
You'd know it. It snaps.
Yeah, it
when
snaps.
You bite into
right.
It.
Yeah, and you put them casing on the charcol grill, and they get nice and black, and then they crack. They crack in like down the middle.
Condom case.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a tied off condom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're the best. I bring them back every time I go visit Buffalo to see my fam. I'll bring back a bunch of hot dogs and other Buffalo fare.
How do you keep them cold?
Take the train. Right?
Yeah. Would you just keep them on ice?
It's hot dogs. Who cares?
You're not worried about them
spoiling. They're packed with salt.
How long does you would know this? I'm turning to Mark because although you seem knowledgeable on hot dogs, I feel like
I am knowledgeable.
If there's an
on
authority
dogs.
On hot dogs, he's
I'm the
right
authority
here next
hot,
to me.
Oh, it's Mark.
Yeah,
on dollar hot dogs at least.
Yeah, low end
hot dogs. If you, how long does a hot dog keep in an opened wrapper in the refrigerator? Like if you open two of them and then there are two more in there, how long will that last? Okay,
you mean like the plastic?
Yeah,
you've
folded the plastic, but it's open.
You put a rubber band around it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah, stay forever.
Forever?
Ever.
I don't know. They're very slimy when I took them out the other day and made them for my boy. But I wasn't eating them, so I fired them right up. Go ahead and eat this.
I never get to keep stuff as long as I would like to, because the missus is just like, that's been in there 3 days, out.
Yeah, I imagine you'd keep stuff way.
Yeah, I'd keep it way longer if she wasn't around throwing it out before I could eat it.
What about like say a sour cream or something like that, and you open it and it's tinting with the mold, right? Like you can see the where it's coming in. Will you just scrape that away or knock that away and eat the rest of it?
The older I get, the less inclined.
Yeah,
I'll tell you a story about eating stuff. When we went to Thailand, right?
I like where this is going. I like
when we went to Thailand, obviously you're in a different culture. It's a whole different
approach.
Yeah, you
went there for sex. A sex tourism vacation?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
And,
that was a different trip.
You know, you go in back the streets of Bangkok and you see, you know, fried crickets, grasshoppers.
Really?
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wonder if I could eat that.
I think, you know, they're high in protein insects. But you've seen Snowpiercer.
But they're meat.
We're all going to end up... You've not seen Snowpiercer.
It came up before, but and then we talked about Snow Patrol, and I don't know what that is.
Anyway, obviously, in Thailand, things are a little more loosey-goosey vis-a-vis the hygiene, etc. And you would literally just see cockroaches like everywhere. And one morning I went down to breakfast and they always had like the chafing dishes full of the shite. And there was a dead cockroach in the scrambled egg one. And I just looked at it and Yeah, and I just thought, you know what, I'll just eat around it. And I took I just took some of the scrambled egg anyway, but not touching the roach.
What is the big fear of cockroaches? They say like, oh, there's cockroaches. Obviously, it's a sign of filth. But is there something to worry about in terms of infection or disease with a cockroach?
I've never heard of
old-timey disease from it?
No, it's not like rats.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, rats would be an indicator of what?
The plague.
The plague. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Black Death.
Yeah.
You think Black Death will come back?
Sure.
It was in India about.
Black Death?
I don't know, Black Death, plague.
The plague?
My mate worked for Rolls-Royce and he was flying out to India and 2 days before, they were like, yeah, there's plague in Calcutta or whatever.
India's a very vintage place, very hip.
Yeah.
We were just taking the piss out of him, like, oh, you fucking come back with a plague, mate.
Yeah. Imagine, anyway, we're going to go down the road. Infectious disease.
We got to keep this tight, right?
Oh, yeah, some kind of problem.
That doesn't mean I don't have a problem. I have to hit the road to go to a gig, but I have budgeted my time well, so we don't have to rush.
Because we got 35 minutes.
We started on time. We're good.
35 minutes of him complaining about cell phones.
We'll get to that.
15 minutes of haircut, and then 5 minutes of special review.
We usually talk about what you ate, right? Yeah. I had porridge this morning. Let's get that out of the way.
Oh, you
and
did,
when
really?
I eat it, I think I'm eating porridge, like Mark.
Yeah, right. That's what. Where'd you get porridge?
I just made Quaker Oats, and I'm just calling it porridge.
Yeah,
you know?
That makes sense.
Because that's what it is.
That's what it is, even though it doesn't say that on the box.
You want to guess what I had for breakfast?
Yeah. You had
mung bean salad.
Holy shit. Were you at my apartment this morning? How did you know
that? You eat mung bean?
No, I didn't.
I thought I was excited for it. I like
I've never seen a mung bean in my life.
Yeah. You probably had I'm thinking today, some kind of biscuit sandwich, breakfast sandwich.
No, no. I'm a man of habit.
Wait. You had your salad.
I had my
kale
salad, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a salad last week for breakfast for the first time ever.
Right, and was it kale or not?
No, it was just a romaine.
It was
salad.
An iceberg, was it? Okay, romaine's good enough.
And you'll appreciate this. Yeah, it was romaine. I had made it the night before for my family, and they didn't eat it, and so it's not going to keep very long. It was undressed, so the next morning I was sitting there looking. I don't want to throw it out. I was like, I'm going to eat this for breakfast, like Christian. If it weren't for you, I never would have done that.
Really,
it changed my life.
It's pretty nice, isn't it? Mm. Do you feel good after?
I don't want vinegar, like in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't want.
See, the first thing I do every morning is I take a shot of apple cider vinegar.
I heard that's good, but I heard that's also maybe not good for you. It's like you're not to do that very often or even ever.
Really?
Yeah, because I had heard.
I only heard the first part of that. That is good.
No, vinegar is good, great for you.
Yeah.
Right? Don't ask me to explain
It is. For your gut, for your digestive system. Yeah. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. But I think the concentration.
Is it bad for your teeth or something then?
Yeah. I'll get back to you. Like I tell my students, I'll get back to you on that one.
It's weird how we have certain things in the morning. Like you could say eat some spaghetti bolognese right now. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, fine. But if I said to you 8 a.m., eat this spaghetti bolognese now. Because when I first came to America, I remember looking at people going, God, these fucking hogs eating donuts in the morning. Like,
donut being a dessert to you?
Yeah, like who the Jeff eats a donut?
I don't know anybody that eats donuts in the morning. I don't know a single American.
Have you ever worked in an office and come in and there's a box of donuts?
There's a whole industry.
And then they go,
sit
in a chair all day? See, I've never worked in an office. I don't work around these people.
But come on, you live in America. You know that people eat donuts for breakfast.
It's like a treat, I guess. Like, but it would be a weird thing.
Coffee and a donut.
To have for breakfast. I mean, that's always seemed like a myth to me. That was just like a fable.
Dunkin' Donuts. You've driven past Dunkin' Donuts at 8 a.m. Sure. It's lines around the block.
Yeah. Canadians, you should know this. Timmy Hortons up there, Buffalo. Yeah. Like, fuck.
You get bagels over at Tim Hortons.
Well, but you get donuts as well.
You could, but I don't know.
So weird. Well, that's weird.
It's not right. Nobody should be doing that.
Well, it's an example of a social construction, right? Where, you know, this is okay to eat for breakfast. This is, what are you doing?
But
right?
it's because it's the first meal you've had in 8 hours, you know? So you have to, you can't just put spaghetti bolognese into your system first. That's too much. It's too heavy. You have to ramp up to that throughout the day.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, they say you should eat your heartiest meal of the day when? You know this.
In the middle of the day, right?
Right, yeah. Well, it should be your heartiest.
Yeah, that's typically.
Yeah, your most filling.
Right. Then you're good for the rest of the day, have something light later, and
yeah,
ready to crash out by 10.
Yeah, I've been trying to not eat past 8. Do you find that difficult?
That's good. Yeah.
I'm in that mode.
I try that, and when I fail, I try to do things like eat mango slices and stuff like that. Stuff that's very easily digestible.
You could walk it off as well. That's like... Mm. I went abroad one time. You know, when you go abroad, you kind of get messed up.
Yeah.
And I went to a tapas place, which is always a mistake. Had all the spicy shite. But, you know, I'm off at that point. I couldn't sleep a wink. I felt like hell.
Because of the spicing?
Because of the disconnect of the...
Oh, you went late.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, I mean, it wasn't late for where I was.
Right.
But, you know, I'm all...
Oh, because you were lagged?
Yeah, general. Lagged and it's just bad.
Discombobulated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took an Ambien one time and I was worried. I was thinking like, well, I've heard people do some crazy stuff, you know, like remember when Roseanne Barr tweeted out all that racist stuff?
Oh, that
stuff
was an Ambien tweet?
Yeah. So I'm like, well, I mean, I followed the instructions that my doctor gave me. You know, she said just, you know, have it with some water like an hour before bed, but don't drink too much water because you don't want to get up, you know, in the middle of the night. And I had gotten up in the middle of the night, and I don't remember it. And I was curious as what I would do if that happened. And now I know. I went out and I ate a bunch of vegetables in my...
In your Ambien stupor?
I woke up with just kind of like, you know, like a cucumber in my tooth. I'm like, what the hell?
And you didn't remember?
I went out and no recollection at all. And on my counter, there was just open containers of vegetables all over the place. I'd had a snack fest.
I can't believe that they prescribe that drug as dangerous as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, it's nuts.
The way some people react to it, yeah, right?
And right.
You must have to sign a waiver, right, when you accept that prescription.
All I said was, I said, I need something to help me sleep. On like some nights, if I know I have a lot the next day, it's really hard to fall. I can't get my mind to settle down. And I was just looking for Xanax or something simple like that. And she said, I'll give you Ambien. I said, all right.
You know, I was thinking about going to my doctor for, not a prescription, but getting one of those notes from them so I can make my dog a service dog. You know, or my dogs. Just throw that jacket on them, that service dog jacket, so I can
just
bring them like to the movies. I can bring them to the movies.
Yeah, just get the jacket. No one's going to check. Just make
you're right. No one's going to check.
Make fake documentation.
Jacket. Can you get that jacket on Amazon that says service dog?
Yeah, I've managed bars before where people have brought in service dogs and we didn't allow, like we kind of had like a tight thing about it, you know, like.
What are you going to say?
Yeah,
no,
well, yeah, exactly. And all they do is they show me a piece of paper. I'm not like, I don't know if this is real or not. I just read it.
They could have printed it on their computer.
It's just like somebody showing their ID at a bar. Like if you're confident enough, I'm going to go, okay. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah. This might be you, this might not.
How are you going to pretend to be visually impaired the whole time?
No, they're not for visual impairment.
You can
anymore.
Get it for almost anything.
That is
now.
One, yeah. But most people have them for anxiety.
Yeah, that's what.
All that. No, you can tell someone to sod off with that.
Yeah, well,
you can tell them to sod off.
Yeah.
That's more of a risk.
Which not in an airport. You can't say sod off.
You can. I mean, I think the airline has to pre-approve you taking it on, but I've looked into this because we have people occasionally email us, say, can I bring my...
Service dog?
What? It's not a service dog. A service dog is for visually impaired people. It's a comfort animal, whatever you want to call it.
The jacket says service dog on it.
Well,
and it's more of a vest.
That is
illegal. It is. Because it doesn't have sleeves.
It's actually more of like a...
It's a muscle shirt.
Yeah.
There's some wacky rules around it because you're not technically allowed to say to somebody,
sod off.
Is that a service dog? You can't.
But you can say sod off with that.
But you can say to them, do you need that dog for visual impairment or whatever? And they have to say, yes, that's what it's for.
And I'd say, okay, good enough.
Yeah.
See you.
So you won't allow allow service dogs in here unless it's for a visual impairment.
Exactly.
I encourage dogs to come in. I say, bring your dogs. Bring all the dogs you got.
I've told people.
What if it's for hearing impairment? Couldn't you need a dog for that as well? Would you be against that? You're gonna get the deaf community.
I am looking into what's it loops, because someone did ask about that.
Oh, hearing loops.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good
there's
idea.
There's a myriad solutions to it.
Like, is this joint ADA compliant?
Yes.
Because it's all ground level.
We can get those horns that Beethoven used. Yeah, you know, that you hold up to your ear.
Yeah, like
the cones.
Actually, I mean, the ADA compliance is a bit of a ball ache. Not that we're against it, but
no, just
know,
for
like,
the record, we're not against it.
Like, if someone specifically says to you, "I need signing for this show," right? I think there's rule. You know, they have to give you X amount of
signing. So, yeah,
yeah. And we went to a couple of signing services, and they were just taking the piss.
Yeah, like, expensive.
Yeah,
they're like $3,000 for an hour.
It was ridiculous.
So you've had to bring in signers before?
Yeah.
And you just got to eat that?
Yeah.
Oof.
It'd be cheaper to learn how to sign and do it yourself.
Yeah, you got to take a class.
No. We now have a list because, you know, there's the deaf magicians.
Yeah.
And we have more like a... So this was just going to a service and saying, we need... You know, and they were like, "Well, you can't just have one signee; you need two because they take breaks."
Yeah, take a break.
Oh my god! Yeah,
you got to make sure they don't sign how the trick was done.
No, it was just like this is taking the piss.
Ever say we're gonna need a signer? Somebody calls up, that show just got canceled. Sorry.
No, because then we'd be in trouble.
Sure. Yeah.
Just to be clear. Full compliance.
Yes, full compliance at all times. What about the...
But noting our unique challenges as a non-profit without infinite resource.
What about the bog? Is the bog ADA compliant? You get a bar in there I can hold on to if I...
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there are bars.
Yep.
In the bog?
Yep.
Yep.
I hang on to them for fun. I just, yeah, why not?
When you're really grunting one out.
Yeah.
They're kind of, well, I don't remember. Brace myself. They're like behind you like this, right?
One on the side.
Yeah, right in front of you. I'll just swing around on it.
You got an ADA compliant piss splash? Because have you tested if somebody's sitting down with the splash might
actually someone
get them
who's
in the
doing
face.
Someone who's doing our maintenance moved the side piss splash. Do you remember she put it on the floor?
No.
When it got ripped off the first time, she remounted it on the floor and I said it can't go there. Mm. That's not ADA.
Mm. Maybe I'll have Begain come in and take a look at the the ADA compliance situation. I don't know if that's an area of expertise, but if you are in the market for a new home or a home remodel, check out Begain Construction. They'll bring in all the high-end stuff.
Is he
Wolf,
back?
He's Sub-Zero, Viking. What?
He's back to sponsoring us again?
Yep. Back.
Wow. Yep. This is a roller coaster, I'll tell you what.
Are we on the... Oh, is this your pre-show agenda? Because I remembered.
No, I don't have any agenda other than... Well,
I remembered this
I do want to tell you a little bit about, not a little, I don't need to tell you anything about it, but I did bring you some gifts. You know, I was out of town. I was flying on an airplane.
Where'd you go?
What
down
about,
south.
Do you have a cancer update?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you for asking. I didn't think
Let's
you'd
bring
care.
It down for a little while.
Let's take it down. As you remember from last week, my Inyan gap levels were out of whack. Mm-hmm. I subsequently got more test results, also abnormal. I don't want to go into all the details of them, but Dr. John Lee, who has opened a new practice of his own over on Diversey, the Lincoln Park Health Wellness, Dr. John Lee. If you're looking for him in this phone book, it's Q Jung Lee. It's his Korean surname. He'd love to have you come in. He takes all kinds of insurance. I don't know if he takes the Blue Cross HMO, though, so you need to call ahead.
Well, I'm on Medicaid.
You're on Medicaid already? Yeah. No, you can't be on Medicaid.
Yeah, I am.
How? You're not old enough.
Yes.
You're on some kind of disability?
I got my taxes done yesterday
by
AARP.
For real?
For real.
How much was it?
Free.
They'll do your taxes?
Because I'm over 50 and down to the bones of my ass.
You can get AARP at any age. Did you know that? I had it for a little while.
No, you get it over 50 for sure.
Yeah, but you can get it at any age. I had it.
But you had AARP what?
Just the membership.
just for the magazine.
Sure, you can get it. Yeah, you can get the magazine if you
Sigourney
want.
Sigourney Weaver articles.
Sure, send it. Yeah.
You get discounts on hotels if you want to stay at a bad hotel.
Anyway, AARP did my taxes because I'm over 50 and I didn't earn any money.
I don't understand that. I don't understand how AARP does tax. They put you in touch with a tax person that, and they're paying for
it? No, no. You go
because you're a member.
No, my missus is, but she got the alert and we just went to a park district building.
Jesus Christ.
Handed the shit over.
And these are your personal
taxes. Came back
taxes.
An hour. Yeah.
Not this joint. Jesus.
Not
they
this
couldn't
joint.
Handle that kind
no,
of
they wouldn't do
rigmarole.
That.
Roll.
No.
Anyway, I got a lot of abnormal results. Dr. Lee said, you know, don't worry about it. We'll retest in 3 months. He thinks it has to do with supplements. I don't take a lot of supplements, but I do take B12, a little magnesium.
Just take the B52s.
No, I don't take the B52s.
In the Love Shack. No.
Now
you've got
Kaiser
GURP.
Blade. I got a sling blade. No, I don't
now
have
you've
GURP.
Now you've got GURP as well.
No, you got GURP.
Caught
although
GURP
I haven't
off,
heard it yet.
Caught GURP off the old lady.
All right, so went down to Miami Beach, and that's what made me think of the service animal, because as we were walking through the terminal in Miami, I had to come back last night, this woman was walking with a service dog, and it was a Great Dane. Can you fucking imagine? Because
that's insane.
It was like a horse coming down.
Yeah,
the,
those are that's the
concourse.
Biggest dog in the world.
It's the biggest dog in the world, and my kids like couldn't my jaw dropped.
Taken on a plane.
On a plane.
Marmaduke,
walking through the terminal.
Marmaduke on a plane.
Marmaduke, and I go like, Jesus, how the hell are they going to get that thing in a seat, right? And this fella was walking next to me. You know, we're walking to the gate. He goes, and he worked either at the airport or for an airline. He goes, the American Airlines going to get their money for that. They got a. Is she gonna have to buy a whole row?
No way. They put the dog.
They
put the dog. What happened?
Yeah.
What if the dog acts up, makes a mess?
Don't know.
Oh
but she
God.
Has to buy
what
a whole
a
row for that thing.
What
for
if
that
the
great
dog
Dane?
Goes ballistic?
That's
who's
worse than a
take,
baby.
Who's gonna take a Great Dane down?
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone crammed in the.
Is there an air marshal?
They might have to have it. Yeah, they would have to have an air marshal put that thing down. Anyway.
World's gone mad.
Yep. So, Miami Beach. Wow, that was a whole. Never been there before, but.
Do you go on any panty raids and do your hijinks?
Panty raids?
What is a panty raid?
You'd have to dig deep into the crevice of a woman to get those panties because it is Butt Floss USA down there.
Is it still?
Oh, Butt Floss. Everyone is wearing this Butt Floss or a tea bag, if you will.
Tea and bags.
Tea back, like it looks like a tea, a whale's tail.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Older women, and you know, I'm sad to see the younger gals wearing the underage high school girls
right.
wearing these tea backs. And even women who don't have the body, not that there's any body suited for a tea back. I don't, it's too revealing. Women who shouldn't be wearing a tea back, in most opinion. They feel forced to wear the tea back.
Yeah.
And not only that, because I feel like there's a heavy homosexual community down there. Many men were wearing teabag.
Oh, Jesus.
And teabag, if you will, because it was a teabag in the back. And then it was like a, I don't know what you would call it. It was just a pouch.
Second scrotum.
It was like a second scrotum. It was as little as you could put on a penis. Just to cover. It was like a like a little jewel bag.
Do you remember when Sacha Baron Cohen first did the mankini thing and he just walked around and people were freaking out?
So it's just too, it was too revealing. It's not for families down there, I'll tell you.
I just remembered I was going to get a sound effects app. And this would have been, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, we need
right,
that. We
right
need
now.
Drums.
Right.
Can we get that?
Yeah.
Hook it up to the board?
I was just going to put it on my phone and just hold it up to the microphone.
No, you can hook it up to the board.
Oh, that's right. I was going to hook up to the board right here.
Let's
that was
that.
My second idea. Thanks for reminding me of that.
I'll pay for it. All right, so here's what
no,
I got.
No, we already got everything. You don't even need your money.
Okay. I got you two. I got you for your refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big saying down there. I don't know why it says, I'm in Miami, bitch.
I don't know. I spurn
see,
the B word. That's going to go crush you. I'm not having the B word.
Really?
In my house.
Ironically, though.
I know. Everyone always
you
says.
You
want to
say anything about the C word.
I know.
Okay, I guess he refuses the I'm in Miami. Look, we could put it up in here if there's any any metal.
Yeah.
Put it on that door. The door's
put it above the door. All right, Christian, ready? Catch. Here we go. It's kind of heavy. It's high end.
Yeah, everyone always says you're like a foul mouthed gutter snipe.
You are. You.
Yeah.
But you won't say B.
Yeah.
Oh, we could put all kinds of magnets on that door. That's a metal door. I remember.
I never say B.
Yeah, which is why when somebody said B in here about Ellen DeGeneres, it was quick to get that off. All right, and for you, sir, you're getting a Beach Patrol Miami keychain. I don't know if you noticed this. It's in the shape of a flip-flop, Beach Patrol. Miami Beach sand in there for you to a basement
this
door.
For,
like it's like, what?
This is for Christian.
That's for you now because you deflected that.
Yeah, you didn't want the Miami.
Each getting, and this I think you'll appreciate. I did a little snorkeling down there. I went to Walgreens and bought swim mask for myself and my children, $8.99. I returned one of them. You'd appreciate that. Said it was defective. It wasn't, but it was a piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
And did a little snorkeling and saw some fish and got a couple pieces of coral. One for you from some Miami Beach coral.
What?
Yes, he gets one too. And you get a piece of coral.
All right.
As well.
I'm going to drill it and put it on a little leather.
Oh, that's
necklace.
That's crafty.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Looking like.
Oh, this is nice. I like this.
That's coral.
Isn't it
straight out of the Atlantic?
Isn't it illegal to?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it?
To take coral to transport it?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, well.
We can cut this out.
Yeah, take this out.
Are we doing a present section?
I didn't know.
I didn't bring any presents.
Where did you go last week? Olive Garden?
I have
these
pens.
You know damn well where I went last Saturday.
Oh, that's right. We forgot to talk about that. Well, I've been texting you and you wouldn't answer my questions. Oh, my.
So I went to...
this is great.
Well, that's not the present. That's just some rando piece of shit.
Oh, it looked like a postcard.
So the whole thing on cinema, at the cinema, whatever it's called, it felt like being at a wedding where everyone's family and knows each other, but you don't know anyone.
It's like Tony and Tina's wedding?
No. It was just this cult of people
that love these guys,
cheered for every obscure reference. Everything.
You didn't know anything.
I didn't know anything. I mean, I watched, like, you told me watch a bit of it. So I just watched maybe 20 minutes of, like, different film reviews. But there's a whole, like, thing around it, right? So, Greg Turkington would say something like, yeah, it's part of the Victorville film archives. And everyone everyone just goes ballistic. And me and my old lady are just sitting there going, what? Oh, that's evidently very funny, you know. And then someone, Amata, they were just throwing all these things, and people are just freaking out like it's a rock concert, and it still was funny.
Well, where did you get this stuff? They had a merch tent.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Look at this.
What does it say?
You blew a wad at the merch tent. That's too much.
That's like 20 hot dogs.
I could not suss out your size.
What does it say?
You're very gaunt and kind of drawn.
That's horrible.
So I'm like, is he a medium or a large? And I went with medium.
But very abnormal.
If you've got shoulders, it's probably not going to work.
This is the story of my life. I've been caught between a medium and a large my whole life. It just depends on what I ate that day.
Because I was thinking about, I said, God, what is? I know his face is almost painfully
nice.
Gone.
That's a cool shirt.
Oh, that's really cool.
But
dude, thank you. This is an amazing merch, the T-shirt from the tour. Yeah. That is incredible. That's a really nice T-shirt. I love that.
Well, I thought, you can give it to one of your lads if it's too small.
No, I'm getting in that. It won't be too small because
it looks like it'll fit.
Yeah,
no. I can tell by
trying to realize what body type he was. I was like, I've only really ever seen him sitting in that massive puffer jacket.
That's right.
Because you refuse to like take your coat off normally.
Yeah, I have anemia. It's one of my issues. That is so nice. Thank you. And I'm so sorry that I messed up the date. I kept saying it was Friday, and you guys would have went together and had a blast, and then you thankfully caught it. That's happened to me a couple times where I go to a show and I had the wrong Friday and Saturday type of thing. So sorry you couldn't make that.
Yeah, it's okay. Things happen.
But yeah, there was that merch. Their merch was doing big business.
Yeah?
They had this Doodle Dots tote bag that all the women were just batshit for.
Really?
And then on the way into the merch thing, they had like props that they'd used during the show, so everyone's posing next to like this huge, it looked like Big Bird costume. Well, I just couldn't be asked to take a picture of it.
So, not knowing a lot about it, being a super fan, like it seems like everybody else, were you able to enjoy it? Was it at all amusing and entertaining? Were they funny? Or was it just like all lost on you?
It wasn't all lost. I mean, they started off with this... they were very clear that you shouldn't document the evening in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I saw that email. I think I sent you that email.
And they started off with...
But they didn't take your phones.
No, they didn't take
your
phones.
Like we talked about you busting the phone bags open.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think most of the people in there would have been respectful of it because they probably realized, like, oh, the people who are going to see this show after me are as insane about it as I am.
Yeah.
And it would kind of ruin it for them. So they did some set bits. They had this like ridiculously half-assed animatronic. It was just a show dummy on a little remote control car, and they did the history of film with Humphrey Bogart, you know, and it was like purposely inept. You know,
yeah, it's all adapted. It's great.
And all that. And then the funniest bit was when the guy's like, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Turkington and Tony Amato or whatever, new Amato. And then they walked out. Everyone just leaps to their feet and is going, but hey. And then they like waved and then just walked straight off. And then they like killed the thing on this, which that's something I've often thought about, like would be a funny thing.
That was at the intro?
That was like, the intro.
Like hello, good night type of thing?
Yeah. And then they both came back on at different times doing different things. It was mainly Heidecker stuff going on.
Did Hamburger come out? Did he throw that on at all?
Hamburger came out to do like movie reviews
he
and
did?
Stuff.
Yeah. He's great. That's great.
And obviously,
he never gets old.
Everything is five tubs sort of thing. And then he did this really funny segment, which I wish I'd have known about, where people were bringing VHS tapes and leaving them at the merch stand. And then they picked like three or four of them to appraise for value.
Oh, on stage?
Yeah. So they would pull up who left this, you know.
Because they always would be like the home video of the week is always a VHS tape, right?
Yeah. So Neil, like Greg Turkington would say, hey, who brought like, I can't even remember what they were, like Oh God 3 or something.
Yeah.
And then the person would run up on
stage. Oh, they get him up on stage?
And then
would
like
that's a great idea. You probably would have got yourself up there because you have so much obscure shit.
If I'd have known to take like a VHS tape, I think I would have been on there.
Yeah.
For sure.
What would you have brought in hindsight? You must have been like, I could have brought...
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Do they keep it or they probably let you take it back, right?
No, the guy... Well, there was one like... there was this bit where Heidecker's character was like... We're not doing film anymore. Film's dead, blah, blah, blah. And some woman had a tape of... Some guy had, like, a Phantom Menace first edition tape. And then, you know, like, this was the first
They make editions of VHS tapes?
Yeah.
Like, first edition?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Like, first edition Star Wars is obviously, like, a holy grail.
Dude, I have a beta Star Wars, Betamax.
Yeah, you might get some dosh for that. But what was the one... The only problem with Star Wars is they sold 87 million copies, what was the one? Anyway, this woman had one, and Heidecker just grabs it and just starts ripping the tape out. Like, we're not doing movie anymore. It's fucking pointless or whatever. And everyone's booing. I don't know if they told her he was going to do that. But
yeah. So did you make a night of it? Did you guys go out to eat, Heather?
No, actually.
Like the show now?
No, because we had all...
You haven't been there.
We had tons of leftovers.
You did. Right. I haven't been there.
Right. Yeah.
It is good. It is that little section's got a load of good eating stuff.
Well, the next time I can't use tickets to a nice show, they're going to you, friend.
Well, thank you.
Right. And I'll give you the wrong date and then I'll go back to you. Well, thank you. Those are super sweet gifts. Look at this picture.
So are you all in on it? You know all these references.
No. Sorry. It was like Letterman there throwing the card.
Yeah, it was.
I've watched a couple and I loved it. But I don't, you know, have time to sit and watch all these. So I've seen, I've seen some of them.
The joke is like Greg Turkington runs the Victorville Film Archives and collects all these tapes. Right?
Yeah. And
is this the guy from Tim and Eric?
That is Tim.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's Tim.
And that's Neil Hamburger. But doesn't he look kind of like Geary? Right.
Which one?
The guy in the bottom right corner.
No, I don't think so. Not really.
Right. You know, I had a haircut yesterday.
I know.
I caught myself in the mirror I thought you look like K.D. Lang. He's like my hair. You know how she has the little the flat toppy puff?
Yeah.
When I come back, my hair was wet and it kind of stood up. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, two chins. I was like, you fucking K.D. Lang. But anyway.
Never a good look for a man.
No.
You keep putting
great look for her. But anyway.
Put that up in the back.
Oh, okay. You're not as good as I did. That was almost as good.
Corkboard here.
But I've been to Victorville, interestingly.
Really? Where is it?
It's like in the high desert between L.A. And if you go, if you drive from L.A. to Vegas, you go through Victorville.
Mm. I figured it was fictitious. All right. Well, did you get any ideas for our show that you could steal from them?
Yeah, here's what we need to do to make this podcast a success.
Yes.
We both need to...
This is a write-off. I'm writing this off.
We need to have very successful careers in comedy. Then we start this as a spin-off and tap into the already massive followings that we have for our work.
I've been saying it.
And then, so I'm planning to become a rock star next week.
Oh.
And then that way, when we restart the podcast... Well, I'll have this huge fan base.
Well, I think we keep the podcast going, but I think you're right. I think your point is a good one. We need, well, Christian's got a thriving musical career.
Yeah.
Right? A musical comedy career. So he's good. He's out there. He's out there promoting his product and
I just spend so much time on this. Product. I spend so much time on this podcast that I can't get my rock star career off the ground.
It's holding you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go into film then.
No.
We've already got music.
Since it's about comedy, I think this for you too. I think we all need to start hitting the open mics and starting doing comedy.
Yeah.
You know? How can we talk about it if we're not doing it?
I've got
What do we know about it if we don't do it?
I've got a tight 10 minutes.
You got a 10 minute sizzle?
Yeah.
Deal? Yeah.
I do.
I think we got to start doing open. We'll do the open mic here.
Yeah.
We'll basically run it. Right? Why don't you run an open mic? You be the host. That would be amazing if you brought back an open mic and you run the open mic like the Red Line. But here on a certain night, like the old days, it'll bring all the heads out of the woodwork. Foster, Khalil,
the heads can stay in.
No, we got to get them back. If they find out you're running a mic again, they'll all come back. Oh, could we do that?
I tell you something. I looked,
and then
at
you can hand it to me, and I'll run it in.
I looked at our analytics, and we are tail spinning.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, not that we're coming down from a great height to begin with.
Oh no,
we are tail spinning.
Where did you see the engines blow out? On what episode?
You know, it's funny. You know what our peak episode was?
You talked about
the what's his name?
Marcello.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's just been a tail spin since.
Maybe
then.
Because that like is hot right now, and people might have found it somehow.
I don't know.
All right. Well, don't bring us down with that. Today's comedian. Anything else for your agenda?
I've got an agenda.
Okay. I love that he wants to talk about.
Tail spinning listenership done.
Done.
No
antidote for that, but go ahead. Yeah. Maybe more. Maybe the. Hold on. Before you move on to the next. This is like, pardon your interruption. Before you move on to the next one, maybe if the spike was from Marcel, we need to. You know, tap into the zeitgeist and find out who are the comedians that are going to spike our numbers, right? You got to get into the...
Well, you guys keep picking specials from 1986.
Comedians that are dead. Right. Well, this guy's not exactly...
Why don't we fucking do W.C. Fields retrospective next week? Really get the kids interested.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Todd Barry is actually, you know...
At least that special
Did
was
I say
from
Ted?
20.
Todd? Ted?
At least the special from 2023.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to do any of that with your rock star career about to take off the way it is.
I'm not. If you've got rock star covered, I'm going into film.
You're going into film.
Yeah.
Right. You're gonna make films.
Yeah.
Can I be in
documentaries?
That'd be awesome.
No, I'm not making them. I'm gonna star in them.
Oh.
I would like to do that too. We could go for auditions for acting gigs and shit. Yeah. Get headshots. Yeah.
Bill's about to get his comedy career back off the ground by doing the cabaret show with Borky and I.
Yep, I got to get a couple. I got to get a couple nights under my.
That'll put you on the map right there.
So the last. That's why I was doing the Sling Blade. One of the last things I did in comedy was I was taking around the Sling Blade act. I was doing the whole monologue and I fuck it up from Sling Blade when you know at the beginning of the movie where he talks about killing. His mother and her lover.
And that was probably 10 years after the film came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did it at Will's Northwoods, and I sat in a chair and like just rubbed my hands like Billy Bob. Was like, I guess you didn't know as much mind that in the middle of like a stand up thing, and did not go over.
Can you do Al Pacino from Scent of a Woman?
I don't do Al Pacino, but I could probably work on it.
Hooah,
hooah.
I had that hooah. You remember when people used to do soundboards for prank phone calls?
Yeah.
There was a Pacino soundboard prank, and that was a hooah. Like, the guy would call people and just keep going, hooah, and they'd be like, who is this? Hooah.
that's a great drop, the hooah drop.
Yeah.
If we can plug your phone into that, you can take, you can do these drops, right?
Yeah.
And we can take calls on there through the phone?
Yeah, I guess so. Why not? Sure.
All right. That would be good. I think we need some call-ins.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll get some call-ins.
Let's work on that.
All right, I'll do it next time.
Anyway, can I finish my agenda?
Yes, yes, yes. Do you have an agenda too, or are we ever going to get out of here?
No, no, no.
I would like to, every episode, run a disclaimer. Because I feel like when I first set out on this, I wanted to point out the pointlessness of this exercise every episode. So I would like a standard disclaimer to be read by you as the host of the show.
With the top of the show?
At the top of the show.
Kind of like the thing you have in the before the show.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But a disclaimer to just say, we all acknowledge the pointlessness of what we're doing.
Okay, I like that.
The invalidity of any opinions expressed.
Yes, we need a disclaimer.
I don't agree. My opinion is... So
well, we can put that in. You want your opinion on the record, but the
well, just say, yeah, well, just say Mark's
kind of the gold standard.
Just say Mark's opinion is invalid.
No, I was joking.
You know what? Maybe we ought to write our own little line for.
Because you're gonna have to read it, but I would like to. Yeah. I would like to bring up that we should have a disclaimer.
It. Next week, you better have it ready.
Can you do a lot of swearing when you talk about me? Just swear for no reason at all.
What do you
just
mean?
Gratuitous.
Oh, for yours?
That's mine.
Okay, I guess
he's got to have input in the disclaimer. We all have to have input.
I called it,
and we'll read it every episode.
Yeah,
it'll be as well known or as familiar as the great theme song we have.
It'll be like the NFL broadcast.
Yeah. This is a trademark or whatever. I love that idea.
All right, that's the end of my agenda.
Okay. Do you have any sundry items?
No.
No, you got a big gig tonight. Let's plug that so that 2 weeks, 3 weeks, everyone
will
know
if anybody
that you
was
were
in McHenry 2 weeks ago.
What's the name
ago?
Of the joint you're performing tonight?
The Vixen.
The Vixen? Is this a strip club?
Maybe.
Sounds like it.
I'm about to find out.
Vixen Video. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They make adult film.
Oh.
That's Vivid Video.
I don't know what I'm in for.
Do you guys watch a lot of adult films?
Vivid. Well,
let's go off on 20 minutes on adult films.
Vivid did that thing with the Blurreds.
They did something with Blurreds?
Yeah.
The porno?
Yeah.
Really?
The ads are
speaking of Blurreds, Bargatze, my wife texted me from the grocery store. She's listening to some podcast with Bargatze on it. She's like, Bill, did you know Nate Bargatze knows TJ and Kumail and... started rattling off all the Pete Holmes and all these guys. I was like, yeah, I think so. I think he was around at the time. But he's crediting all of them as being his contemporaries from Chicago. He's like shouting them out. And I was like, well, Mark kind of remembers him, but I don't remember him from back then.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, you said he was here.
He was here, but he was doing Dave Odd shows. How did he mix
did he ever
with
do
the
Lodge, Bargatze? Never. You
never.
Sure?
Absolutely pause.
Do you have records of everybody that performed?
Yep.
That's smart. I forgot to do it, but I'm going to bring in editions of the zine from back then. You know, where we had like spotlight on Kumail.
I give it to you, right?
No, I've got. I know you didn't give it to me. 90 minutes. We're at 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into. Oh, geez, you're depressed.
No, carry on.
Okay. Let's get into today's comedian, Mr. Todd Barry, not to be confused with Todd Glass. Or John Barry, or Todd Glover. Those are all different comedians than Todd Barry. But if you've been following comedy since the mid-90s, you would naturally confuse Todd Barry with Todd Glover and John Barry. And who was the other one?
Todd Glass.
Todd Glass. Is there a Todd Glass?
I don't know who any of these guys are.
Or Brian Regan.
Todd Glass famously came out of the closet on on Maron's thing, right?
I don't know.
Todd Glass is a highly respected amongst other comedians. Comedian.
See, I confuse him with Todd Barry. And then there's another guy that was in Jerry Maguire. Remember the babysitter in Jerry Maguire?
I never saw it.
Never what? Saw it. Yeah.
That looks just like Todd Barry, but is, you know, obviously not the comedian that Todd Barry is. So, Todd Barry's domestic short hair. My mic isn't working?
I didn't say that.
Why are you holding up a card that says Mike?
Oh, I didn't realize it said Mike on the other side. I was just holding this.
Oh.
These are the times.
The mic is
I don't know who wrote
tell
this.
Tell me to talk into the mic?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Well, you're really throwing me off my game here. You're looking at your
I was as confused as you were.
About, yeah. You took the price off or did I take the price off?
I took it off.
$3.99. I feel bad. Because I brought you a piece of coral from the ocean and these, and the keychain, and then you got me this T-shirt and the hat, and that's you way out.
I didn't get you anything, so it kind of balances out.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. All right. Well, Todd Barry, you picked him.
One of the all-time greats.
You think of him as one of the all-time greats?
Mm-hmm.
You love Todd Barry.
Yep.
When he comes on the camera and I see him, and then I know who he is because I've seen him before. But I immediately reminded of a squinty John Roy. No? You see a squinty John Roy at all? No. Maybe it's just the bald pate.
Yeah. He's not even full on bald, Todd Barry, so.
He's bald.
Not full on. He has the.
He's got the wrapper on
Costanza. What do you call it? Yeah.
Nobody ever loses that, though. The bag.
They don't?
No.
They just shave
they
it.
They shave it off, yeah.
Like Jeff Bezos?
Yeah, or like Bill Burr.
If I was bald, I would keep that and let it grow. Not significantly, but I'd let it leave it, you know? I'd leave it normal.
That's the Gallagher look.
Like the, no, what's
no, he's
name?
Long hair.
Well, that's what let it grow means, isn't it?
What's the guy's name? Lynn Lithgow.
John Lithgow?
The Lithgow look.
He's got it, but he's bald.
Yeah, Lithgow?
Now he is.
Got the thing, and then it was the dad. Who was the dad Wallace in jail? Shawn. Who was the dad in jail on Arrested Development?
Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, Tambor.
He's got that classic.
Yes, he's got the classic. That's an. I would keep that. I wouldn't do the full shave.
You would go Tambor.
I'd go Tambor. Yeah, I wouldn't go Larry David like a Harpo Marx.
Jeffrey Tambor also played the guy on Larry Sanders' show, right?
Yes.
Hey, no.
Yes, he was the co-host on Larry Sanders. Okay, so he comes on, and immediately I'm looking at the thing, and you know, I'm like, this looks familiar. This set, this where he is, and I was like, I wonder if that's the den. Sure enough,
it looked good.
Now I'm surprised you picked.
Yeah, me
you
too.
Picked
I surprised myself.
Did you know it was at the den?
No, I didn't.
So otherwise, were you pissed? Like, God damn.
Yep, I would have never have picked it.
Yeah, I figured. I was like, I can't believe he picked this. This is now rival.
I got to watch it seething with
jealousy.
All right, pick it apart then. Pick apart what, you know, the lighting, the staging, how the acoustics, it doesn't work. None of it works.
Well, it's going to sound bitchy.
I know. Well, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear you bitch about
the look. The look was okay. The sound was terrible to me.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know.
I mean, I was just like, oh, is that your subconscious telling you?
Yes.
But I think the sound, I legitimately would like to know, someone who knows good sound, if they.
Well, he's sitting right there. This is a musician of the finest.
I don't know what was wrong with the sound.
I didn't notice.
It was awful.
It's just one guy talking into a microphone. How good can the sound be?
It's not like
it sounded echoey to me, but it could just. I'm going to fess up and say that could be my subconscious.
Okay, that's very big of you. That's big of you. Todd Barry, this is from when? What year?
2023.
So that explains a lot of the COVID humor.
Right.
Are you tired of the COVID humor now? I know you are.
I am.
And
yeah.
I know we all are, but. Are people still doing the COVID humor in the rooms?
I hope not.
COVID humor should have expired 2021, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was played
December,
after at least a year.
December 31st should have been a moratorium.
I don't
know.
No
more COVIDs.
I don't feel that way. I think in this way that he does, like, go through all these things. But, like, COVID, it was the, for us, one of the biggest things of our life. Right,
it
so it's
best.
Never. It should never have to go away.
You
just have to do it differently.
Where would you rate it in terms of that and September 11th?
Bigger, small? Like,
which one's the biggest?
COVID bigger than 9/11?
Yeah.
They're just different. They're apples and oranges, and I'm not avoiding it. Although maybe I am. Like, I don't want to, you know, because you'll say, well, he thinks, you know, kicks dirt on the grave of the 9/11 victims by picking COVID.
Well, they both have multiple victims, so.
Well, 9/11 was an acute event, right, that had obvious repercussions and a ripple effect. But COVID was a long, drawn-out affair, right? I'd say COVID's bigger because it was worldwide.
Do you ever think about this now? Someone who is 30 years old may not even have a recollection of September 11th. 30 years old. You could say to them, what about September 11th?
Like I was five.
Yeah, they go, I don't know. Yeah. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, you can't even reference Muhammad Atta to them. They wouldn't even know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
What?
Yeah. I bet Brian McGannon can still reference Muhammad Atta. He named his fucking fantasy football
Muhammad
team.
He did. Muhammad Atta. Yeah, that's poor taste. He's a poor taste, Brian. You don't know who Muhammad Atta is.
No clue.
He's the only one I can remember. He's one of the guys that flew the plane. He was the master, not the mastermind, but he was the head of them over here.
I was definitely old enough to know. I guess I just never heard it.
Those guys love strip clubs. Those guys that flew.
Anyway, comedy.
Yeah.
They love strip clubs?
Did they
go to the Vixen?
Well, they all trained down in where my father and mother lived in Venice, Florida. They all learned to fly down there. And so lots of stories about them hanging out at the strip clubs while they were learning to fly. Learning to fly. They should do a montage of learning to fly with Muhammad Atta down in Venice and then going to the strip clubs afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Learning to fly. That should
be. I wish I hadn't mentioned it.
We need to cut that out. But I ain't got wings. A lot of TS. Having just flown, I was panicked about the TSA shit.
I
scooped up my kids on Friday and got them there 5 hours early to O'Hare. How long it took to get through TSA?
How long?
Literally, this is not an exaggeration. 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It was faster than any time I've ever traveled in my life. So you got to wonder about that propaganda.
Yeah,
so
then it ends up costing you, hundreds of dollars because you got to go sit somewhere.
You get two meals in the airport then.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a conspiracy.
Right. $50 hamburger.
Yeah, yeah. So on the way back, they're like, well, smaller airports are sending ICE now and because the crowd control is too crazy. So I was like, we'll get there 5 hours early. We'll get there 4 hours early to Miami International. You know how long it took me to get through Miami International?
5 minutes.
12 minutes.
Jesus.
No lines at all. Yep. What the fuck?
$50 hamburger.
Huh.
Yeah. Back to Todd Boca Berry. Burger. Yeah. I'd spent so much money on this trip because you got to eat every meal out when you're on vacation with your kids.
Yeah.
And I was so sick of watching them eat meals out, chicken fingers and everything, that I forbid any purchase at the airport and I made them bring a sandwich.
You can bring a sandwich.
Yeah, to you can the pack airport? That. In. Yeah, it was that could be a bomb, right?
Oh,
you could,
man, I would have done that.
Yeah,
so many times.
You can bring a sandwich through.
Yeah, I guess why not?
I always bring sandwiches to the airport.
But one time, I brought a thing of spice from a restaurant I like. You know, they sell spices in their gift shop, and that brought out the bomb squad. It took me an hour. They had to feel through my genitals and up into my buttocks. Crack.
So now you do it every time.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay! See, this is why you might have it. You might have the goods. Anyway,
did I tell you a story about my mate who had? He took his. He's from Australia, so he could grow weed. The state
you can grow weed in Australia. Yeah. Always have been able to. Really?
In South Australia.
It's a penal colony. I would think they would have harsh laws against such things.
In South Australia, you always could. So he was a bit of a weed head, but he couldn't smoke it at all when he was in racing season. Obviously, get tested all the time. So immediately, literally after his last race,
fire up.
And then he went back to Aussie. And obviously, he's not dumb enough to take weed through the airport, but he had the little baggie that he kept it in, a little pouch.
Yeah, with
thing.
Residue.
Yeah, with residue on it. So he's standing there, and the dogs
start sniffing.
Immediately just walk up and sit next to
him. Service dog,
sits next to him, So the guy pulls him out of the line and he's like, hey, you know, the dog sort of said, but, and he just fessed up. He goes, oh, I know why the dog, like, you know, fingered me kind of thing. This bag is where I have kept weed, but there isn't any in it or whatever. So the guy's like, oh, okay, well, you know, that saves us a whole bunch of hassle. And then he goes, when you fly in, and the guy, and my mate's like, oh, it's 3 hours, you know, I got it. Yeah, and he goes, can we borrow your bag for an hour? Because we're training some new dogs back in the, you know, where they keep all the luggage. And we haven't got anything that smells of weed, so can we borrow your bag?
Wow.
So he took his bag for an hour and used it for, like, training the new dogs. Anyway, wow. That was an interesting anecdote. Yeah, shut up, Mark.
No, I love that aside. But your aside leads to my aside, then to his aside. And, you know, we're not giving Todd Barry his due here.
Yeah, that's good.
Why did you pick Todd Barry?
You know what? I'd been on Tubi. I know we watched it on YouTube, but I'd been on Tubi just rando surfing, and all of a sudden there's a Todd Barry special.
This, like, one? Or just,
yeah, this one, yeah. And I stumbled across it two or three times, so in the end I was like, okay, this is fate telling me, just do this.
Let's look at Todd Barry.
Yep.
But you've always been a fan of his, yeah?
Oh, I kept very, very, very few comedy CDs when I had a mountain of them. And his classic Medium Energy is one of the best ones I've ever heard.
How would you describe his comedy to someone who has not heard him?
Kind of like mean and sarcastic, which is why I
really
like it. Yeah.
I didn't find this mean. I haven't seen a lot of his comedy, but
Do you think he's softened it up over the years?
No.
Did you think he was mean in this one?
I think he's looking down on people. I mean, yeah. his go-to punchline. He's like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense," type thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Snide, maybe is a good word to describe him. He's snide.
Yep.
Smug.
Yeah, all the things I like.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll see a pattern if we flesh out who's the comedians we've chosen over all these times. Like, if there's a pattern there. How about you? Have you were you familiar with the stylings of Todd Barry?
Yes.
And how?
I'm good friends with somebody who's a big Todd Barry fan, and when they really got into Todd Barry circa 2010, 11, they also exposed me to a lot of Todd Barry's material, and I did enjoy it.
So you've always enjoyed him?
In the background. I never really, like, you know, searched him out, you know, but I always knew from what I saw, I liked this guy.
Yeah. Had you seen him in any of these films that he...
Pootie Tang?
That he references?
I've never seen Pootie Tang.
No?
No.
I've never seen Pootie Tang either.
5 minutes into it.
Who else was in Pootie Tang? Who's the who was that vehicle for?
It's weird.
Because who's in that?
Louis C.K. wrote it, which is bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was his.
Before he kind of obviously fell from grace, a lot of comedians would talk about Pootie Tang,
yeah. I've heard a reference
but
to
yeah,
that.
There's no one real famous in it. The wrestler, I definitely remember going, Jesus Christ, that's Todd Barry.
Because he worked at the supermarket, didn't he?
Chris Rock was in it.
Was in Pootie Tang?
Yeah, Wanda Sykes.
Who was the lead? Chris Rock? No.
J.B. Smoove.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the lead
David
guy,
Cross.
The lead guy is kind of not anyone big.
Come on, Chris, who's the lead?
Chris.
Yeah. Chris, you're kind of like androgynous.
It says Chris Rock first. It says Conan O'Brien too, but I mean, maybe he was a writer. He must have been a writer.
Yeah.
David Cross must have been a writer. Oh, well, Chris Rock was Daddy Tang. Oh, no, but Lance, I don't know how to pronounce this. Lance Cruther?
That was the lead?
He played Pootie Tang.
Yeah.
I never heard of that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea what the movie is.
I think I picked up Red Tide down in Florida. Are you familiar with Red Tide?
The Alabama football team?
No, it's Crimson Tide. I wonder if that has to do. No, it's like a fish in the, something
in the
water.
Yeah, it's
when
all the,
gives you a cough.
Yeah, what is it that's in the water that turns red?
It's an algae.
Yeah, right.
Some kind, and it turns sort of the water red, and then everybody gets sick with a cough.
That's why flamingos are pink too, right?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Interesting.
They're originally they're born white.
Flamingos are pink because of their diet.
Well, they eat.
Yeah, they eat the algae.
Yeah, they eat the red tide. Red Tide's bad. You don't want
not,
red
Well,
tide.
Not if you're a flamingo. It's good for you if you're a flamingo. It's like apple cider vinegar.
It kills tourism.
Flamingo eat shrimp and stuff.
Yeah, shrimp. Shrimp aren't red, though, unless you cook them.
Red Tide would be a good comedian name.
Red
Tide. Coming to the stage, Red Tide.
Red Tide.
I'm going to take that one.
Red Tide. Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to start telling people to call me Red Tide.
You know shrimp aren't red unless you cook them.
Or pink, at least.
Oh, this, I got to tell you this. So I broke my 4-year vegan diet down in Florida.
Oh, what'd you eat? Ooh. An octopus?
No, I had stone crab. And here's how I justified it.
That's a good way to break it.
You had stone crab. You know what stone crab is? No. Not crab. It's not king crab.
Right.
They're harvested by, they pull them out of there. You only get them down in Florida, right? They pull them, maybe you can get them other places. Pull them out of there, and then they clip off the claw, and then they throw them back. And then the claw grows back in a year and a half or so, right? So I justified it by saying, like, well, they're not killing these things. They're just taking a claw. And then my kid's like, but that's torturous. It must be so painful for the crab. But I ate three of those claws and felt horribly guilty.
I would think crabs have evolved to not feel pain at the removal of a thing because the tide's going to smash them against the rocks and blah, blah. Did you watch that documentary, The Octopus, My Teacher?
Yes, and that's what I was thinking about eating calamari. I was like, I can't eat calamari. That thing's basically a human being.
Do you know that a lot of calamari out there is actually pig intestines?
What?
Yeah, there's this huge bust 10, 15 years ago. Calamari that you're getting at restaurants was actually just chopped up pig intestines. They started testing everything, even like high-end restaurants.
A lot of veal cutlet. If you get a veal cutlet, it's pork. Yeah. Pork cutlet.
No. But the octopus just grew its tentacle back when the shark nicked it, right?
Yeah, they grow back, yeah.
So it must be
amazing.
It must be predisposed to not
feeling pain.
Pain in it.
Would you eat a lizard's tail?
Would I?
Yeah. Because it grows back and they don't feel pain when they.
I don't want.
Well, at least
want
they say. How would we know that?
Well, when you guys are talking, when you're talking about Thailand and crickets, could a vegetarian eat crickets? Probably not. They're alive.
Right.
Or vegan. So anyway, I broke that because of my. You know, I had all those test results, and I was like, maybe I got to start eating some regular shit. And then I felt horrible, guilty, and I blasted the toilet out the next.
I was going to ask. Did it agree with you?
It ripped through me. Yeah. Mud. I had mud.
Yeah.
Anyway, Todd Barry.
Yeah, back
Todd Barry. Domestic short hair. How about The Wrestler, though? Well, that's a great movie. He was in the, he worked in the deli with him. He was the boss of the, who was he in that movie?
I can't remember.
I think he worked in the deli. I think he was the manager of the deli after he cuts his hand. He's like, ah! He's like, what the fuck, man? He's like, you're fucking crazy.
Huh. I just remember the shock of seeing him and being like, why is he in this?
I don't know. What any other credits to speak of? He probably would have told us in the special. Yeah. He referenced. I do love that. I do love how he references his celebrity, if you want to even call it that, throughout the thing.
Yeah, that was to me. That was the comedy highlight of this special. Was where he would work in multiple like Pootie Tang references.
Yeah.
Ridiculing the tenuous nature
of celebrity.
Yep.
And he starts off with it, with the Girl Scout bit. That's a great bit, right?
Like, yeah.
She's signing autographs. He's like, I'm asking because I actually am a celebrity.
Yeah. Okay. Was his posture weird to you? He seemed to be leaning back constantly.
I didn't notice, but first thing I noticed was how he holds the mic. Like he's two goblin
hands.
Knob. Like, that's how, you don't see him. Maybe we have talked about this, but I don't remember too many two-hand comedians.
Yeah.
Right, like holding it like that. Did that bother you? Because you have some peccadilloes about the way comedians hold mics.
Two-handed is fine. That's just insurance.
Two-handed? Wow, that's weird. You don't.
That's it's good.
It's weird.
Holding it like that, or it's
you don't like the ice cream cone, the Jezelnik.
No. Yep.
So he starts off, I'm basically not seeing him for the first time, but I kind of know who he is, but I don't really know his comedy. I'm not bowled over.
Started off very weak. It was another one where I got 5 minutes in. I was like, I picked a dud.
Picked
here.
A dud for the boys.
Yep.
He's kind of a lot of anecdotes, a lot of stories and anecdotes that are kind of funny, seemingly. you know, true to life stuff taken from his life, I would think, with embellishments, I'm sure. But I do like, I didn't think I would like, but I do like the meta comedy that he does. He talks about his own celebrity. Here comes, he's writing something down. It's going to be a card.
It's a secret.
15 yeah. minutes left. Oh, he's going to go.
On the SD card.
He's going to get on the, oh, on the SD?
Yeah, we can't even go past that.
Well, I don't think we have, I don't even think we have 15 minutes of material here, but I do like it. I do. I don't know that I always like a meta comedian where he talks about the jokes. Like, I'm going to end that joke right there. Or, but I liked how he meted it, and I do like his crowd work. How he would, you know, very formally say, "Now it's time for crowd work." I like that.
Well, he famously did a crowd work only tour, and
before
it was fashionable.
Before Instagram.
I give Todd Barry his due. He did it before it became this fashionable thing.
Really? He would just do crowd work the whole time?
Well, he just did a tour specifically of it and released an album of it.
With the crowd work that he was doing, he was talking to that woman who saw a bear in a car, right? And I feel like he missed a really good opportunity later because he had a joke about a bear and he could have referenced...
I know. I thought that too. I was like, well, he's going to have a callback.
Right, exactly.
He had no callbacks. This is a no callback comedian. I do respect that.
Well, except for Pootie Tang.
Yeah, I guess it was... that back. Those are... Yeah. Throughout, I guess they are callbacks, but...
What was the joke about adjusting, the doctor adjusting his back? Everybody laughed. I didn't get it.
Because he was taking the piss out of chiropractic.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
So he was saying, what was the thing, the analogy? Or he was saying it was like, do you remember?
No.
I don't remember the analogy, but I don't think it was an analogy, but it was something like, oh, my doctor told me this, then it was clearly some stupid bullshit.
Quackery?
Yeah, and then he said, oh, did he tell you that while he was adjusting your back? Meaning
that they're not real
doctors? It's not a real doctor. Oh, it's a chiropractor.
All right, I get it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, but there was something before. The thing I have written down is when he's in the cab or the Uber, and the guy's like, I got a mask, but you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
And it says, Biden is as useless as this mask. Uh-huh. And then I have the chiropractor joke, but I don't know. How is it going with the note taking? You're taking notes, or you were.
Yeah, I've got a few notes here.
You got some drawings?
I drew Todd Barry.
I was going to draw him. That's pretty good. I like the drawing. Right? Yeah, I need to do more drawing. You've moved on to some kind of ARP free.
No, Wounded Warrior. I've been on this. I've been on this the whole
since the Goldstein
series.
Ran out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was going to watch this special on the plane on the way home on the phone, and I didn't have my paper and like normal, and then I felt like I got to. Every one of these is on an 8.5 by 11 slip of paper folded in half. But I think whoever Christian picks next, and you are picking next, you know this.
Oh, fuck.
He knows. I would like to just watch it and no notes. Or maybe write down, I'm flow charting this. I don't, what's the point? Right? Like, just enjoy it. I don't know that I can enjoy it if I'm note taking as much. Well, I have laughed.
I'm not incessantly scribbling.
Look at me.
I need something. I'm old. I forget stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you got it, something noteworthy, I'm just writing everything down.
Hmm.
Right? Like I'm a stenographer.
Yeah. There's
like
no point in doing
comedy
that.
Comedy stenographer.
I try to keep my notes light, you know, just a couple of things to remember.
Yeah,
to
that's probably better. I'm going to adjust there. But if anyone wants to know every single bit, I have it written down.
Just transcribe the entire special.
Well, I think when we started, we kind of did that. We kind of went through, you know, a lot of the bits, a lot of the set. But I don't think that's what people want.
That's why we're tail spinning.
I don't think that's what our audience wants to hear. You know,
we've gotten away. Ratings
from ratings are in the toilet right
walking
now.
Walking off in droves.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you who likes the program. Beguine Construction for all your home remodel needs. Call. Bill Beguine.
Well, he should like it. He's paying his paying his bills.
Yeah, his advertising nut.
The thousands of jobs he's getting from it.
All right. Well, I got it. Did you see any Mike Olson in here? I have a Mike Olson. Light bulb went off when he's doing the crowd work. He's like, "Hey, how you doing? Where are you from?" Like he goes, it's time for crowd work. Hey, how you doing? Remember Olsen's that bit like, hey, how you doing? Where do you work? Where are you from? Hey, how you doing? Where do you work? Where are you from? Just like a crowd work robot. The thing that I took from this, or the thing that really got me thinking deeply. One, I want to say this. I think you like him because he's a cat guy, right?
No, this cat, this is brand new.
You didn't know about his cat thing?
That's brand spanking. That was a shocker at the end there.
Yeah, and unless we have something else, I wanted to say this, and then I want to get to the ending, because I think the ending is really noteworthy. It's like he referenced comedy nerds. You remember? He said something about comedy nerds. He's like, oh, that's the last thing I want is like, you know, comedy nerds coming up to me, asking me about, you know, Patton Oswalt's email. I want to make sure that we are never, I don't ever want to be a comedy nerd, right? We're not comedy nerds, are we?
No.
You kind of are.
We're just doing a podcast about comedy.
I don't think we care enough about comedy to be considered a nerd.
Yeah. Because that's the last thing I want to be, is a comedy nerd. Like, sounds like the people at the Heidecker Show, comedy nerds, right? Like, well, I want to enjoy comedy and not be a fanboy of comedy, right?
But isn't that just a natural extension of liking it?
Yeah.
To be obsessed with it.
Well, I'm not obsessed with it. 10 minutes till bedtime. So let's make sure that we're not, you know, let's make no mistake. This is not a comedy nerd podcast, right? Hmm. Yeah? You're looking at me blankly.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe if comedy nerds listen to it, it is.
Yeah, I don't want comedy nerds to listen to this. I would actually take anybody listening to this.
I would take exceptions. Yeah, I don't want.
I don't want to. If you're up to me, we drive away any potential audience.
We wouldn't even publish this.
We're not going to be picky.
No, we're not going to be picky. But I just, as he referenced, I was like, wait a minute, am I a comedy nerd? Are we comedy nerds? I don't ever want that.
We talk more about breakfast than we do about comedy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I think if we were comedy nerds, we'd be sitting around and
dissecting the jokes.
Yeah, just, which we are sort of doing, but once a week just to get me out of the house.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Yeah, we got to start bringing in somebody, preferably a woman, to be under the desk to knob you off, like George Gaines in Police Academy.
Did we do that? Did we do that?
That'll get you
out of
the house. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you're just doing it to bring it on
call
to
back.
Mike.
Yeah, bring it on Mike. Yeah. You can get knobbed off under the table every week. How much would that cost? Is that in the budget? Have somebody under the table here to knob Mark
could
off.
Be free.
Yeah, some
drag
like a Weinstein.
Pit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epstein Island. Some people have referred to this whole Wing Lodge as Geary's Epstein Island. I'm not going to say who, but... Maybe I'll find you. That you don't want. You don't want to be considered running an Epstein Island of comedy here.
Yeah, you don't want that.
All right.
It's worth avoiding.
The last bit.
Hang
the
on.
The last, what, you got something?
Well, I never got to talk about my favorite bit.
Oh.
Daddy will bankrupt the company.
I love that.
Classic.
That's a great
line.
One. Yep.
A kitten, checking into a hotel because a kitten attacked me.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, you love kitten humor, being a cat lover.
And then the best bit he did, and actually it was the longest bit. A lot of it was hard to make notes about this because it's just skip.
Well, there are chunks.
There's only meat to get a hold of. The $10,000 what's it? Prize was the longest bit.
I love that. That was great, right? Like not knowing what to do with $10,000.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give him to buy a house for him. I'm like,
no, you're not.
Yeah, you're not.
That was literally the longest bit. I bet if you sat down with a stopwatch, like a comedy nerd would. And
that was the longest bit?
I got to say.
Well, that was maybe the longest. Yeah, because it was one bit that was dragged out. But he had chunks, right? He did chunks about dating. He did... chunks about healthcare, chunks about COVID, chunks about cooking, and then he comes back and does more about cooking. So it wasn't like he did skip around a lot, traveling chunks. But then he'll just have like random jokes that have nothing to do with anything.
Do you remember the definitive Todd Barry joke? We should bring that up.
I don't know what it is. What is it?
He Maybe made this joke.
Comedy nerd alert.
He made this joke and it actually got to the person he made the joke about. If I say then
well, the that was in here. What are you talking about?
No. Oh. If I say the band name Fugazi, do you remember the joke now?
Nope.
Todd Barry had one of the greatest jokes ever. He goes, Todd Barry was actually a drummer. just FYI.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Like Fred Armisen?
Like yeah. Fred Armisen. And he can drum.
Or Bill Burr.
Bill Burr's a drummer?
Yeah.
No shit.
He talked about...
Bill Burr produced this, by the way.
He said, I'm a big fan of this band Fugazi, which is a punk band, a really old punk band. He goes, they have a rule where no show can cost more than $10 to get in. It's like a hard...
Fugazi?
Yeah, hard rule. And he goes...
No wonder they're out of business.
Yeah, he goes, you got to think that one of the band, probably the drummer, is like, hey, guys, just an idea. Why don't we charge $11 and then I don't have to have a roommate when I'm 32 years old?
That's
right.
The
and that's like a just definitively hilarious joke, right? And the drummer from Fugazi was told this joke like so many times
because
people
right,
would just go up right. to him like,
yeah, yeah. "Heard the joke from Todd $11."
But yeah, I love that. I love that anecdote. That like it. I think eventually the drummer like in him met. Like,
yeah. Right,
like,
right.
I'm surprised he didn't have a picture of him with the drummer at the
right.
end of this
yeah,
when
yeah.
he was doing his whole slideshow.
Well, how about the ending? Do you want to go through any more classic bits that you like?
No.
I thought he had some great bits in here. But the ending, I love when a comedian ends with their best stuff. We've seen a lot of them just kind of go out with a whimper. But that, and you love the slideshow type of shit mm-hmm. comedy, right? You offer it up here a lot. Yeah. I thought that was awesome, right? Like the pictures, there's so many great little jokes in there. About the pictures, like when he shows the picture, the keeps showing the pictures of the ripped up couch, right? You had to love that. And then he's like, and that's probably a million dollar contract sitting right there with a laser pointer. That was great. And then he brings in the celebrities. Just a great, great way to end it. I wouldn't want to see any kind of 45 minute slideshow comedy. That would be awful. But just a little touch of it there was really nice.
The only thing that annoyed me with that bit is he had a mouse for advancing the slides.
Yeah, he kept having
thing.
It like,
I was like, that's a one device thing.
Yeah, the slide changer is a laser pointer.
Yeah.
I know
yeah,
they have
right.
Teachers use those.
That's what happens when you go to a, quite frankly, amateurish venue.
Yeah, a place like the Den Comedy Club in Chicago, just, you know, they don't have the equipment that
a good
need.
Venue would have a selection. Probably three.
Just yeah,
three slide pointers sitting in a drawer in the tech room,
yeah.
all with built-in lasers.
Lasers, different ergonomic styles.
Different ergonomic styles
for their hands. Different
yeah.
hands. Yeah.
What sort of venue comes to mind when you think of that place?
Well, it could be none other than the Lincoln Lodge, winner of Chicago's best stand-up venue, 2026.
Right.
I think what other stand-up venues are there? Zanies, of course.
Laugh Factory,
not
the
best.
Den Theater.
The Den Theater, not the best. Yep. Lincoln Lodge, the best.
The best, yeah, number one.
The best. All right. since it was your pick, and you've had some weird rating scales. Remember last week's dog one, medium dog, small dog.
Or Marmaduke.
Sheltie.
Yep.
We like to try and tie it into the, can you tie in a rating scale to Todd Berry's act today?
No, I can't.
Okay, I'll help you then. You're Christian.
Cats. Number of cats.
Okay. Number of cats.
Out of how many cats?
Are we doing different sized cats? Like
no. Just do
Cheshire cat.
We're running out of disk space.
2 minutes.
Rapidly.
It's 2 minutes?
Yep.
To the gong?
Yep.
Let's get it in. All right.
Four cats.
Out of four?
Four out of five?
Out of five.
Four out of five cats. You, go.
Can't pause.
Two and a half cats out of five.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're shitting on
this. It's just, I didn't really like the special, but I like Todd Berry, you know? But
yeah.
the half cat is the front half of the cat.
Mildly.
Not the back half.
Front, okay. Front half of the cat. I give it three cats out of five. Mildly amusing. enjoyed it. Mildly amusing. Not going to break the mold.
Who's next?
All right, next up, we have a special from 2010. It is Bill Burr's Let
Oof.
It Go.
Bill Burr, we haven't heard him. He was a producer of this special.
Yeah, he's a producer of this special. He's mentioned multiple times in this episode of our podcast, and he was also mentioned in Todd Berry's special himself.
Mm-hmm. Tekashi, take us out.
All right.
There we go. We got in? We're right in under the...